Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game. We are presented by Southern Bank of Tennessee, your bank for small business. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, the Mouseketeers, as I guess we've been come to.
I like Drake and Josh better.
Drake and Josh. We're broadcasting live from the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. I mean, the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Having some fun transitioning from DVD here to Stillman and Company. This is our final show of the week. Jared will be back tomorrow for his usual time, 2 to 6. But we have a fun show planned for you today. ESPN has released their NFL offseason grades. Where did the Titans end up? We'll get to that in this first hour. We will also complete our week-long NFL preview with the AFC and NFC South. Also, SEC Media Days coming up starting on Monday in Atlanta. We'll look ahead to those. Who do we want to hear from, and what can we expect to see from the two in-state programs, Vanderbilt and Tennessee, and much more, including Connor trying to avoid a sweep, and where are they now coming up at 5 o'clock?
I need to know that the heart of America is with me this week.
Yeah.
I feel like a 16 seed. We're playing Duke in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
I feel like I'm the villain, but I look forward to defending my title at 5 o'clock.
I need a Cinderella story today. It's going to happen.
The text line needs to get behind you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines, as always, are driven by Wilson County Hyundai. Let's start with our headlines today. Connor Newt, go ahead.
Okay, so I was watching more of Quarterback last night. I got two more episodes in, so I'm about halfway done with the season. I got to the episode where we'd see Jared Goff, of course, is one of the quarterbacks that they depict in the series. And Jared Goff, of course, is for the Lions. The Lions played the Titans in a game we all know resulted in a beatdown. Jared Goff had some words for the Titans on multiple occasions. I don't have the clips with me, so I'll just tell you what he said. But he said at one point, you know, the Titans were coming onto the field, and he said, you know, coming into this game, I thought this team was one of those teams that's got a bad record, but a good team. No, they just kind of suck. I was like, wow.
Yeah, the Titans caught plenty of strays in this season at quarterback.
And then later, they finish the game, and it shows Jared Goff on the bench talking to, I think it was Ben Johnson, and he said, you know, we know as the Lions how it feels to be on that side of things, to struggle and to not have, you know, the support of your fan base. He's like, I can't say I feel bad for him. I'm like, what?
It's tough. I mean, the Titans had a rough year, and I didn't really expect quarterback to really include all that much of the Titans because the Lions game was over before it even got started.
Oh, yeah.
And the Bengals game was one of the ugliest games in NFL history with all the penalties and all the turnovers. So I kind of didn't think either of those were going to be all that heavily featured. I've been proven wrong, as clips have gone viral from both of those games already of Jared Goff and Joe Burrow.
I mean, it's one of those, like, usually you watch these shows and you're like, hey, there's the Titans. They're on TV. They're on the documentary. This time I was like, oh.
I know. Usually when the Titans faced the team on Hard Knocks, like a couple years ago when the Titans played the Dolphins while they were doing the in-season Hard Knocks and had the big comeback, I hadn't watched any of that season, but I went out of my way to watch that episode because
yeah.
I wanted to see how they covered it. I will not be doing that for any of the quarterback ones.
Do you like Hard Knocks?
I used to. I think it's gone downhill a little bit.
I think it's the same thing every year.
Right. It's all they focus on these undrafted free agents who have good stories who always get cut at the end of the season.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Parker Kelly, good afternoon. What is your headline today?
Good afternoon. I'm going to piggyback off your theme from yesterday for gym etiquette, although this isn't really etiquette. It's more so just a pet peeve of mine. So I was working out late last night, and there was this guy that came in. He's super jacked, probably like a bodybuilder type, and he was on the elliptical machine. I'm like, okay, great, you know, he's getting his cardio in. Well, I was back in this morning, you know, absolutely ripping some dumbbell bench press, you know, and he comes back in, and guess where he goes? The elliptical machine. Every time I see this guy in the weight room, and this is no slight to him because I don't know the guy, but every time I see him, he's on the elliptical machine. I'd never see him lifting a weight, but yet he's yoked.
Maybe that's something we should all learn from. Maybe we all need to be on the elliptical
Is that the key? Is that the key? Just on the elliptical 24-7?
It could be.
Or he's on Ozempic. You never know.
That is a build muscle, though.
Yeah, well, it loses fat. It doesn't. Yeah, you're right. Have they created reverse Ozempic?
Yeah, I think that's called steroids.
Yeah.
Which is illegal.
Steroids they're legal, right? You just can't. It's
just not for pro athletes.
Right, yeah. You can't use it if you're going to compete in some sort of sport.
So if I come in next week and I'm just 300 yoked. Pounds of absolute muscle, will anyone
blink an eye?
We know
what happened.
Yeah, you start losing your hair and your head grows a size and a half.
My heart.
I'm going to look like Barry Bonds. I will finish up headlines with a plea to New York Yankees manager Aaron Boone, who is managing the All-Star game this year, because the managers of the teams who were in the World Series last year, they get to manage the All-Star game the next year. There are rumors that he is going to name his own pitcher, Max Fried, the starter for the AL. I am begging you to pick the actual best pitcher in the league in Tarek Skubal.
Please.
He was absolutely screwed out of it last year by Bruce Bochy and the Rangers. I don't know why they picked Corbin Burns last year, but for some reason Corbin Burns started. Tarek really wants to start it. In fact, he said that if he doesn't start it, he's just not going to pitch in the All-Star game. I'd like to see him pitch in the All-Star game. So do the right thing. Let the best pitcher in the universe start the
They should make game. That a rule. Like, you can't...
It should be picked by somebody other than the manager, because I do get it for Aaron Boone of, like, what's it going to say to his own player if he chooses somebody else over Max Fried?
Right.
Like, it puts Aaron Boone in a really tough spot. So I don't get why they give him the choice
That's when Manfred needs to step in and say, hey, the NL starter is Paul Skenes, the AL starter is Tarek Skubal.
Or let the fans vote for it.
Yeah.
Like, let the players decide the pitchers like they already did, but then let the fans vote who do you want to see start so we can get Skubal versus Skenes. That's how it should be.
Yes.
That's,
so what is your opinion on Rob Manfred? Because I know a lot of people don't like Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA. People are indecisive about, you know, Roger Goodell. What's your opinion on Rob Manfred?
See, I'm not a fan of Rob Manfred. I don't think he loves baseball. And there was the one time he called the commissioner's trophy, the World Series trophy, just a piece of metal. I'm like, all right, well, that's the ultimate prize in the sport that you are supposed to be promoting. So I'm not a huge fan of Manfred. Although I do think the rule changes that he made a couple years ago with the pitch clock and the disengagements and the shift, they were criticized pretty heavily at the time, and I think it has baseball on the upswing again. I think more people are getting into it because the games are shorter. So although I don't like Rob Manfred, the person, I think some of the things that he's done have actually been helpful to the game of baseball.
Yeah, I feel like the MLB, as far as fan engagement, has grown a lot.
I think
so.
Part of that is the games being shorter. Part of it is just the star power right now. Like,
mm-hmm. We've talked so much about that.
There was a little bit of a lull there where, yeah, Mike Trout was a star, but was he really getting people to watch the games?
Yeah.
But you've got Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge now who just, like...
Well, there's stars on every team.
And right. Paul Skenes and right. guys like that.
You've
so.
Got the pitchers who are must-watch with Skenes and Skubal and Crochet. And now you've got a guy like Jacob Mizorowski who's come up and is throwing 102 miles an hour.
Former Nashville Sound.
Right, exactly. And then you've got these, I mean, the home run numbers are up. You got Cal Raleigh, a switch-hitting catcher who's hit 36 home runs this year. So I think baseball's in a good spot. I don't know if you can give Manfred a whole lot of the credit because, I don't know if he's doing a great job, but I do think the big rule changes have been successful to this point.
Yeah.
So
and baseball's in a good place.
But I do, my plea, Aaron Boone, let the best pitcher in the world start the All-Star game. Don't let the politics of you being the Yankees manager get in the way. But, you know, if Skubal doesn't pitch, then that means he gets a full week off to get ready for the second half. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, this is going to be a fun show to wrap up our week here on Stillman & Company. Jared back tomorrow. We're going to talk Titans offseason grade coming up next. ESPN put out NFL offseason grades for all 32 teams. We'll let you know where the Titans ended up and what moves they liked and disliked. We'll also finish our NFL preview with the AFC and NFC South. Look at the SEC with SEC Media Days coming up next week, and much more. But again, first, ESPN put out an article today from Seth Walder, and he graded all 32 teams' offseason moves. How did Mike Borgonzi grade in his first offseason as the GM? We'll go through it next here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Well done, Parker.
I want to do the dance now.
I know. Do we do the...
That's the... Who does... That's Goofy.
That's Goofy.
And
I don't...
Donald does like the side to side.
My little sister watched this all the time when we were growing up, and she's 6 years younger than me. So I do remember watching a lot of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
But my cousin is two, so he's all into this. So
yeah,
a lot of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Is it still going on? Like, did they make new
episodes?
Couldn't
tell you. I have no idea.
Let me tell you what I know about Mickey Mouse Clubhouse at the ripe age of 21.
What a great conversation on this Thursday. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Here
I mean, Drake and Josh is next.
If Jared's listening, he's probably wondering what has been done to his great program.
What have you done to Stillman & Company?
Oh, he's going to come to me tomorrow. So how'd it go? And I'll be like, I think you should go back and listen.
Yeah, maybe you should listen, especially to Monday's hour around 5:30. Listen to that one.
When Matt called in.
Yes.
You should check the text line.
Yeah, check the text line. You'll figure it out. Let's get into the Titans here. As I said yesterday, it's list season. And, you know, when we're in July and there's not a lot of stuff actually going on in the field, we look at the lists. And today, ESPN, Seth Walder over at ESPN, put out his grades for all 32 teams off seasons. And the Titans, because, I love guessing games, guess where at 1 out of 32 where the Titans ended up.
I'm going to say they overreached on them. I'm going to say they're in the top 10.
Oh, wait. You can see it on the grid. I wrote it on there.
Oh, can I? I haven't looked.
Oh, you haven't looked? Okay. They are in the top 10. They are number 6. The Tennessee Titans got a B+ from Seth Walder of ESPN for their offseason. That is 6th only behind the Ravens, Broncos, Cardinals, 49ers, and Rams. So the Titans, a B+. They said their biggest move was drafting Cam Ward, obviously. You have the number one pick. That's probably going to be your biggest move. Move they liked was signing Kevin Zeitler. Move they disliked, signing edge Draymond Jones. They also did mention, Seth Walder writes, I'm a fan of the Dan Moore Jr. signing too, though I realize that's a contrarian take. Moore's deal with an average annual value of $20.5 million doesn't look great in comparison to Ronnie Stanley's three-year $60 million deal. But I think that's because Stanley's deal was cheaper than expected and the alternatives to Moore were rough. That's kind of exactly what we've been saying, is that outside of Dan Moore on the tackle market this year, there really wasn't a whole lot out there.
Yeah, and that's where I'm kind of at. Like, Dan Moore, he's a starting, as Jared would put it, he's a starting left tackle on a playoff team. I mean, that's kind of what you get. You go overpaid for him, but don't you kind of have to if you want a starting left tackle on a playoff team to come to your struggling team?
Free agency in general is overpay. Like, nobody is getting a below market value in free agency because the market says how much you're worth. And Dan Moore being, like you said, a starting left tackle on a playoff team, he got $20 million. And you hope that he ends up being an above average tackle for you. I know he gave up 12 sacks last year, but raw sack numbers are not the best way to grade a tackle because there's so many other factors that go into that. Like Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, I think, are known for taking more sacks. So,
'cause they're mobile.
Obviously, that didn't help him. And you look at who he was going against. I mean, he's got Myles Garrett in that division. He's got Trey Hendrickson, who led the league in sacks last year. So not to make excuses for Dan Moore, but I think the overpay was necessary to get a player of that caliber in free agency.
And I think you can kind of cherry pick that a little bit and say, wow, they paid $20.5 million for a guy that, you know, led the league in sacks. But you're right. There's a lot that goes into that. And your quarterback is part of that. Like you said, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are more mobile quarterbacks that like to get outside of the pocket a little bit and scramble. So, yeah, they're going to take sacks. If you don't get across the line of scrimmage, guess what that's called? It's called a sack. Yep. So they're going to take more of those. I didn't love the Dan Moore signing at first because I was like, okay. I was like you as in the listeners. I was like, wow, they really overpaid for a guy that is led the league in sacks and is clearly below average.
Yep.
Then I did some digging, and now I'm like, okay, he's a starting left tackle on a playoff team. He's there for a reason. He's played for a winning culture in Mike Tomlin. Does he bring that over here? That remains to be seen, but on paper, it's not as bad a move as you would think it is, because we have to overpay for guys like that.
My right. offensive coordinator in college used to say that stats never lie, but they don't always tell the truth either.
Bingo.
So you look at 12 sacks, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of sacks. But you mentioned Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, both mobile-ish quarterbacks, and you know they could be holding the ball too long, trying to escape, make something out of nothing, get sacked. And then that looks bad reflected on Dan Moore, but, you know, that's just not the case. So, and you got to pay to get a guy like that, right?
It's a premium position.
Right. And the Titans desperately need a left tackle.
And if Dan Moore can just be average, and J.C. Latham, if he becomes one of the best right tackles in the league, then you paid $20 million to improve two spots on your offensive line, which is worth it. We're going to talk more about the offensive line in a second, but the move that Seth Walder said he didn't like was signing Draymond Jones at 1 year and $10 million, which I don't understand. Here is his he says that he never lived up to the deal with Seattle. His 2022 contract season with Denver seems to be an outlier. I just don't understand why that would be a move you don't like. It's so low risk.
Yeah.
You're not giving out a lot of money.
And it's a position of need.
It's a position where you just need bodies right now if you're the Titans, because you do not have – a whole lot of veteran presence in that,
or
pass
someone
rusher
to
room.
Hit the quarterback. Right.
It's a premium position where you were so thin that I agree. Draymond Jones is probably not going to go out and get you 11 and a half sacks this year, but if he could get you 6 to 8 sacks and just be a guy who's out there as a 3-down edge rusher, that is worth 1 year and $10 million.
I think what he was getting at was the Titans getting rid of Harold Landry to pick up Draymond Jones.
Harold Landry wasn't coming back.
It seemed like both sides kind of agreed that Landry needed to find a new place to go. I mean, Landry was probably overpaid based on what they were actually getting.
I mean, he was trade rumors all of last year. We thought he was going to get flipped at the deadline.
During the middle of the season. I mean, yeah. Detroit was a popular topic for you know, for him to potentially go to. So,
looking at the rest of these rankings, and we're going to preview the AFC South coming up in the second hour of the show at 3 o'clock. 11th, the Texans. The Colts were 15th, I believe, as a B. And the Jaguars, I'm still scrolling. I have not found the Jaguars yet, which is surprising to me because I feel like the Jaguars are kind of a media darling right now in terms of everybody loves Travis Hunter. And I'm still scrolling. I still haven't found him yet. The Jaguars get a C, and that is good enough for...
What'd you say the grade for the Titans was?
A B+.
Oh, okay.
So the Jaguars get a C. Their biggest move was trading up to draft Travis Hunter. Move they liked, signing Patrick McCary, I believe he was a guard, and they didn't like signing Deami Brown for 1 year, $10 million. Maybe I need to understand what Seth Walder's article is looking at a little bit more, because I don't understand how you can say, oh, I don't like these one-year deals they're getting these guys on, because as long as you're staying under the cap...
A
one-year deal is really... I mean, how much of a risk can it really be, and how can you not like it? Yeah, they may not pan out, but it's a one-year deal, and you're out of it after this season.
Yeah, it's just, I think he's looking too much into it. Like you said, they're not long-term investments. You're not really committing to anything. And guess what? If they have a good year, guess what you can redo? Re-sign
right.
them. Maybe there's something we're missing on here, but like, he seems to be bashing all these one-year deals for every team.
That's what I'm not understanding. It's like, you can not like the player and think, oh, Draymond Jones probably doesn't deserve $10 million. But for the Titans, what harm does it do to bring in a guy like that on a one-year deal? It's not like they gave Draymond Jones 4 years, $53 million or something.
I mean, jeez. Like, I don't think I like that move, honestly. Not that I know much about Draymond Jones, but it fills a position that they need a body to fill.
Yeah, that edge rusher room is... Ugh. You're relying a lot on a lot of guys who haven't proven much. I mean, Arden Key had that 3-week stretch last year where he looked really good.
He's a rotational guy to
but
me, though.
Yeah, right. He's probably a third down guy.
Yeah.
who you just have him pin his ears back and go after the quarterback. Femi Oladejo is a second-round pick, but again, he hasn't even been playing edge rusher for a year at this point.
He's a project.
And then who is the guy they signed from the Falcons?
Lorenzo Carter,
who had zero sacks last year. So, and then Jalen Harrell, I guess you could throw in that mix too. That's a lot of guys who have not produced a whole lot at the NFL level. You're bringing in Draymond Jones, who has produced at least at some point, and I don't understand why they don't like that move, but I get it. It's these list articles where you have a guy who's standing high above 30,000-foot view of the NFL and just has to pick a move that he didn't like.
Right. I mean, it's definitely quantity over quality. With the Titans, it's edge rusher by committee,
right.
I would say.
I mean, that's why we keep saying that if all things are equal and the Titans go into the draft with a similar-looking roster as we have right now, of you look at it and say, all right, these are the holes, I think your first-round pick has to be on the outside.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get a pass rusher.
Or a receiver.
The only way that changes is if Femi Oladejo just lights the world on fire as a rookie.
Which I don't expect.
Yeah, I will say, though, he has looked impressive in practice, but that doesn't mean he's going to, like you said, light the world on fire or anything. Just seeing him and seeing how energetic he is, he provides something to this room that it desperately needs, and he's built like Tarzan. So
I like him. No, I do like Femi. I just don't know if he's going to immediately jump in and be this team's best outside pass rusher. I think you probably still need to find that guy in the draft at some point. And the Titans likely going to be picking towards the top 10. There are a few good edge rushers at the top. The Clemson guy is the best one.
Peter Woods. Is that who you're thinking of?
Is Peter Woods the defensive tackle or the edge rusher?
That's the guy I saw mocked to the Titans. Well, Jordan Reed put out a draft.
There's two defensive linemen for Clemson, who are both going to be top 10 picks. I'm blanking on his name. Well, Klubnik could be a top 10 pick too. So Peter Woods is the defensive tackle. TJ Parker is the edge. So Parker is the edge rusher out of Clemson that could be in the top 10. And then Penn State has another edge rusher. They just keep churning him out of there in Happy Valley. Oh, and Miami. Miami has a pass rusher too, Reuben Bain. So there's options for the Titans if they're picking in the top 10. I think that's probably where they're going to end up going.
Yeah.
I think that Draymond Jones is a Band-Aid, and that's fine for this year.
You could take a Band-Aid for a year, especially with what you're trying to do, because I think we both agree it's not about this season. It's not about next season.
It's about
the stadium.
Right. They want to be, when they move into the new stadium and put on the new jerseys like we talked about yesterday, they want the team to be competitive. That's 2 years away. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix is coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend. And 1025 The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword race, R-A-C-E, now to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit MusicCityGP.com. The two moves that Seth Walder said he liked were both on the offensive line. So let's look there. Kevin Zeitler and Dan Moore, two big additions up front for the Titans. How much better can that offensive front be for Tennessee this year? That's up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. ESPN grading all 32 teams offseason. The Titans rank 6th. Out of 32 with a B-plus grade. Seth Walder, who wrote the article, said he did not like the signing of edge rusher Draymond Jones, but he was a fan of both moves the Titans made on the offensive line. And that's where I want to go next, Connor. The offensive line, I mean, for the last three seasons, it's been horrible. Absolutely abysmal.
Yep.
You've had we were talking Mount Rushmore yesterday of Titans. The Mount Rushmore of horrible offensive tackles to play for the Titans. Dennis Daly, Andre Dillard, Nicholas Petit-Frere, and Jalen Duncan. Now you bring in Dan Moore, who, again, just has to be above average. You move J.C. Latham over to the right side. That's his natural position. And you have Peter Skoronski, who, as much hate as Peter Skoronski will get because he was a guard,
mostly on this show,
taken 11th overall, he was pretty good last year. Yeah. And especially towards the end of the year, he got a lot better.
He did his job.
Right. He's not what you expect when you take a guard in the top 12, which obviously I understand. If you take a guard in the top 12 of a draft, he should be an automatic Pro Bowler. And Skoronski hasn't been that yet. Hopefully he will be this year. Lloyd Cushenberry is a question mark because you just don't know. And Achilles is such a fickle injury where
right.
you don't want to rush him back at all. But based on what he's said, what the coaching staff has said, the belief should be that he'll be back and ready to go.
You forgot to say the thing about Petit Frere.
Oh, sorry. Nicholas Petit Frere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT.
Thank you.
And then Kevin Zeitler, who Seth Walder said that's his favorite move the Titans made this offseason. I think that is the best move the Titans made. I agree
with
him.
That's my favorite.
That
for sure.
Dan Moore, it felt like a necessity to just bring in whoever the best tackle was, overpay, get him in there, because you were taking Cam Ward first overall. You didn't have another option to get a starting tackle. But Kevin Zeitler, I think, can be the glue for this team. Dylan Radins was fine last year, but you bring in Kevin Zeitler and solidified that guard-center triangle. I feel really good about that. It's the tackles, and whether the tackles can take another step forward. Can Dan Moore not give up 12 sacks this year? And can J.C. Latham look more like he did early in the season than he did towards the end?
I feel really, really good about the offensive line being really, really average, which is good. You don't want them to be below average because they've been more than that the past few years. I feel good about Kevin Zeitler. I think that is your missing piece of the puzzle. Not a great puzzle, but a puzzle that I think you can look at and say, that is the guy that kind of changed the culture of this offensive line.
What does Trevor Maddich say? From heinous to awful. And
right.
if they could just be average, I think Titans fans would take that. I think Titans fans would absolutely
take
that.
I'd 100% take it.
We have been saying since Taylor Lewan tore his ACL for the second time that it can't be any worse. It can't be. I think this year is finally the year that we're right, and it won't be worse. This is not a finished product of what this offensive line is going to be around Cam Ward. I think you look at Latham and you look at Skoronski as building blocks for the long term. Mm-hmm. You take those guys as early as you did, they should be...
They have to be, right?
They should be starting on your offensive line for 10 years. But I think Moore is more of a Band-Aid.
Yep.
Until you can get a young left tackle in the draft. But this at least hopefully gives you somebody serviceable for the next 3 to 4 years. I think Zeitler is a one-year guy. I think they want Jackson Slater to be their starting right guard next year.
And he's very versatile, too. He can play any position along the interior.
I'm very excited.
He can play left guard, right guard, center. It might be a stretch for him to bump out to tackle, but he probably could do it. But I think they just want to keep him on the interior.
Jackson Slater, the highest-rated Titan in this year's Madden game. Or Titans rookie, sorry.
Is that a shot? Is a shot. That really is a shot.
Cam Ward should be rated higher than Jackson Slater.
Yeah.
And honestly, probably so should Oladejo and Winston. But anyway, I think Jackson Slater is a guy that they look at as they're going to give him a shot to be the starting right guard next year. And center, I don't want to discount center because we've seen how much a good center can change your team. When Ben Jones got hurt back in 2022,
yep.
That's when the wheels fell off after that Packers game. So I do think that the Titans are starting to piece together the offensive line that they want for the long term. But in the short term, I think this is the best unit that they've had at least since 2022.
Which isn't saying what you
think. No, it's not saying much. It's a low bar.
The only problem is your left tackle's never played next to your left guard before. Your center's coming back from injury. Your right guard is new, never played next to center or right tackle. And J.C. Latham is flipping over to right tackle for the first time.
I agree.
Do you not feel so much better about J.C. Latham playing on the right side?
I do.
Side,
I do. But I think it's just going to take 4 games for
right.
them to all just kind of like get their feet under them, gel as a collective unit. So I think it's going to take some time.
I do try and preach patience with Titans fans. They don't always take it. But I do think that you have to give it a month. Like, look back at what year was it when Lewan got suspended.
Was it
2020?
It was either 2020 or 21.
whatever year that was, I guess that's not a good example because he was out of the game.
Yeah.
2021 would be a good example where Lawan got absolutely destroyed by Chandler Jones in that first game. But by the end of the season, that offensive line was humming.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the best that we've seen. So I think this offensive line, it might take a couple of weeks for them to get everything fit together. But in terms of investment and ability, I think this is an offensive line that can be between 15 and 20 in the NFL, which is a great step forward.
I mean, you better hope they gel together quickly, because if they don't, you're going to get to the quarterback that risks injury. And what stifles a young quarterback's confidence more than anything?
Injury.
Injury.
Yeah, well, and especially you got to face the Broncos and the Rams in the first 2 weeks,
yep.
Which, again, I'm not going to get on board with benching Cam Ward for the first 2 weeks to save his confidence and not get him hurt, because you got to face the good teams too. But I do agree that it's not a great start when your offensive line is going to have some, you know, rust to knock off to face two teams like that. Andrew on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, guys, PT was retired. Don't resurrect it. Get with the program. I apologize. I did not know that PT was retired.
It's retired, but Jared does it all the time still.
Well, they don't. I mean, Nicholas Petit-Frere does not get brought up nearly as often as he was. He was brought up about every other segment for about 2 years there.
With the right tackle story.
Yes. And now he's not on the Niners anymore. That was a quick cup of coffee in San Francisco for Nicholas.
Andre Dillard's out there, though.
He is. He's hanging around for now, Andre Dillard.
He's like a cockroach. He always finds his way on a team.
I mean, being a former first-round pick in the NFL, I think, has its perks, because people will always think that they can fix you.
Yeah, but I don't understand how he's on there, and you have people like Alex Leatherwood, who is also a first-round pick. He's awful, first off, but how is he not rostered and Andre Dillard is?
Yeah, we won't go through all of Mike Mayock's first-round picks, but if you want to look back, I think Josh Jacobs is the only redeeming quality out of those.
Yeah.
I mean, he took Cleveland Farrell fourth. Everybody knows Henry Ruggs. Alex Leatherwood. And then who was the cornerback from Ohio State that he took?
Oh, he got drafted by the Lions and then traded to
No. Different one. I will find it.
I know
Damon
who
Arnett.
About. Yes.
Damon Arnett. Yeah, that is. I think that is pretty much the extent of Mike Mayock's first round picks. So, if you're thinking about hiring your general manager off of television, maybe take a look at that list first. just putting it out there. 615-737-1025. Again, Seth Walder at ESPN ranking the NFL teams off seasons. Pretty high on the Titans. Sixth among all 32 teams with a B+. So we'll see. Seems like the national media likes what Mike Borgonzi did in year one. Obviously, it's about what they do on the football field. When we come back, it is time for Newt's Notes. Connor going to take over the show for one segment. But I do want to remind you to tune into ESPN 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Durham. Pregame begins at 5:20 and the first pitch is at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Newt's Notes coming up right after this here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. For the final time this week on Stillman & Company, it is time for Newt's Notes. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, Connor Newt, you take it away.
Thank you, sir. All right, so I've got a weird bone to pick with the NBA, which is a pretty normal occurrence. But I really want to know, what is it with all of these role players getting just lucrative max deals? Today it was Jalen Williams for the Thunder, who I guess is kind of a star for them.
He's their second best player.
But he signed a max extension for 5 years, $287 million.
Right, and they just extended Chet Holmgren too, right?
Yes.
So, man, that second apron's coming quick for the Thunder.
But he's not the only one. Like, Desmond Bane, for example. First off, he was traded to the Magic by the Grizzlies for four first-round picks. He is their fourth best player, by the way. Now, I'm reading he's on a 5-year, $197 million extension with the Magic.
Yeah, if you're a top 60 player in the NBA, you're going to make quarterback money.
Fred VanVleet is on a 3-year, $130 million contract, and he just signed an extension for $50 million more. What is going on?
I still don't understand the second apron. I don't understand the apron
so
at all.
So they just changed the rules in the latest CBA for the NBA where instead of like a hard cap, the luxury tax becomes like so harsh on these teams that they have to get out of it. That's the Suns were just in that when with Beal and Durant and Booker, and it basically made their life so difficult trying to acquire players that they could not do it. So
I'm going to say a Jared Stillman thing. With the decreasing popularity in NBA watching and entertainment and what have you, where did they get all this money coming out of their ass?
I don't know. I mean, Devin Booker is now making $75 million a year.
I mean, Devin Booker's a star.
And I love Devin Booker. He's my favorite player. But he's going to make, like, let's just guess that Devin Booker's going to miss about 10 games out of the year, right? Like,
right.
Most players aren't going to play all 82 games. That means he is going to make over $1 million every time that he plays an NBA game. That is insane.
I don't get it. Miles Turner just signed a 4-year, $107 million deal with the Bucks. He was the Pacers' like fourth best player.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
If you can start and be somebody who scores 15-plus points per game in the NBA, you're going to get paid like a quarterback in the NFL. It is crazy. And I'm with you. Like, the NBA, I don't think the ratings have been that good lately. I get they still get that TV deal money, but it feels like they're going up way too fast. Eventually, it has to come down.
I mean, we say this feels like every show. If you're not in a market, a big market with an NBA team, do you actually care? Like, I know you like the Suns. Do you care about them more than you care about the Tennessee Titans?
No.
Do you care about them more than you care about the Detroit Tigers?
No.
Do you care about them more than you care about Vanderbilt or Virginia Tech?
No. I would say the Suns are at the bottom for me. I followed them really closely when they made the run to the finals a couple years ago. Like, I followed them through that whole season. I was really into it. But for the most part, it's something that I'll keep an eye on in the background rather than be diehard and try and watch every single game.
I don't understand where all this money is coming from and why they're exercising it on these mid-tier players that are never going to carry your team to a NBA Finals on their own. And I understand, you know, the super team era is kind of dying in a way. It's more investing in young stars and letting the young guys play the game that you're trying to play, which is not a good game of basketball, in my opinion, but regardless. But at the same time, why are we paying these 30-year-old mid-tier players that have never really been much in their career quarterback money?
Well, this isn't anything new. You want to, the 2016 NBA free agency is one of my favorites because I don't know how all these guys got so much money. Timofey Mozgov signed a 4-year, $64 million deal with the Lakers. Nicholas Batum got 5 years, $120 million with the Hornets. Where's my favorite one? Because he never turned into anything. Bismack Biyombo got a 4-year, $72 million deal with the Mavericks. Ian Mahinmi got 4 years, $64 million with the Wizards. And I still can't find this guy. He was a shooting guard with the Trailblazers, and he got a massive deal and was just never heard from again with the Nets. Alan Crabb. Alan Crabb got 4 years and $75 million from the Nets. So I get that that's not quarterback money. They're not getting paid $60, $70 million a year. But the NBA has always been like this, where these role players hit free agency, and the NBA's teams are just like, you know what? I'll shell out this contract to you because why not?
Was it Franz Wagner for the Magic that got like a ridiculous...
Franz Wagner's really good, though.
I thought he was... Is he a starter?
Yeah, he's like their second best player.
Oh, okay.
Mo Wagner is not as good, his brother. But Franz Wagner is like their second best player behind Paolo Banchero.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Tim in Nashville on our text line...
That's a good point from Tim.
It is. It's a global sport, and they shell out money from you know, they have the African League now and France and all of that. But I just don't get the point in giving these guys money they don't really deserve.
I'm now realizing where a lot of the money comes from.
Adam Silver's pocket?
No. China.
Oh, yeah.
I think China is probably...
The Guangdong Tigers are investing
Hey, now.
Desmond Bane.
Don't get us canceled, Connor.
The NBA is... Like, that is China's sport. Like, they follow that. I think Yao Ming is a large reason for that. But...
Jeremy Lin.
I don't know. Jeremy Lin wasn't quite as
big. Linsanity.
Like, right, but, like, Yao Ming was, like...
Yeah, he was good for
a long time.
He
was a global superstar. So I'm sure that is a good point from Tim in Nashville. And, you know, with all of the European stars getting so much better, and, you know, you've got MVPs from Giannis and Jokic, and Luka's been one of the best players in basketball, I do get it that our feelings in the U.S. may not match the financial investment from other countries.
Yeah, but the ratings show our feelings in the U.S.
That's true. That's true. I agree with you, though, that I don't think these extensions are sustainable. Like, 5 years from now, are NBA players going to be getting paid?
We're going to have the next Bobby Bonilla.
$100 million a year?
Well, I mean, we're going to have a Bobby Bonilla-level contract at some point.
I mean, you're seeing that in the MLB. Look at Shohei's contract.
Yeah.
Shohei's getting $2
million but they backload it.
For 10 years, and then... The 10 years after his contract, he's going to get paid $68 million a year.
But he makes so much money off of, you know, New Balance endorsements and
no,
all
I know.
Of this
it's not about
stuff.
Him, but like the Dodgers are going to be paying $680 million for Shohei Ohtani not to play for them for 10 years.
It's smart. I mean,
right,
like, win they're now.
Right. No, I get it.
They're going to be awful
and
in 10
they're
gonna,
years. They're making so much money on tickets and endorsement deals and jersey sales and all that, but. I just can't fathom the idea of saying, you know what, we'll pay him $2 million a year for 10 years, and then once he leaves us, we're just going to shell him $68 million a season.
It's kind of like what the Florida Panthers are doing, too. Like, they're investing all these contracts into these veterans they have, knowing that they're going to be awful
right.
in, like, 5 years.
And it's just like, hey, we'll bite the bullet. When
we'll win as many as we can now.
Right. I was surprised that the Mets deal with Soto didn't have deferred money.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just straight up yearly, right?
They were just like, hey, 15 years, $760 million. Sign the contract.
Yeah.
But the NBA, they don't do the deferred money. But I do wonder if we're going to break the $100 million per year mark in the next couple years.
I mean, who would get it?
I mean, Cooper Flagg maybe could be in that range of 4 years from now, 5 years from now, he signs that contract. Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah. You're thinking young
like
guys.
Like, the guys who are due up next to get that first major contract, I think could end up being in the $90 million to $100 million range.
A year.
Crazy. Yeah, a year. Making nine figures a year to play basketball.
Ugh. The NBA, I just frown upon it. What happened?
I think the NBA is in the same spot that baseball was about 5 to 10 years ago, and baseball made some changes and pulled out of it. I think the NBA need. I'm not exactly sure what the changes need to be, but I think the NBA does need to change some things up to get people locked in again
and make the players care. Because obviously they don't care, so why should I?
Right. It's basically the NBA has said like the regular season doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you sneak into the playoffs, who cares? They tried the in-season tournament. See, what I would kind of like is do the in-season tournament right off the bat. Like
they kind of do.
No, but they do it like a month and a half into the season. Hmm. I would like just start the regular season with the play-in tournament, or the in-season tournament, and then after you're done with that, then start regular season games.
That's why we need to preserve the regular season, right?
Right.
We're not getting into this
again. I don't know. The NBA... It's in a tough spot. Again, I don't know how to fix it, but I think they do need to make some changes. And these contracts are insane.
Ridiculous.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. In hour number two of the program, we're going to finish up our week-long NFL preview. We have done the North, the East, the West. It's time for the South. The AFC South comes up first. Where will the Titans finish in the division? and who is the second best team behind Houston? We will get to that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly in today here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.